the consensus was was that the black man does not have employment. So if we provide employment for black men, they then in turn can take care of their families, and thus they will, you know, the black family will start to thrive. Okay, but the media, when the Moynihan report was sent to the media, that part of if we employ black men was taken out.
Right.
So it just became that, the black families are just doomed because black men aren't there and the women are trying to take care of the entire family and, you know, and on and on. And so when last week we had a young man call in and said, I'm tired of history. I'm tired of y'all talking about history. This is why we say history is important, because you have to know, you know, that this didn't all just happen in a vacuum. And I was telling them on the break, if you landed here from some other planet and you just watched a day or two of news, you would think that black people hate one another. And that simply is not the truth. So here we are. And this is another wave of violence in our communities. Having created programs, Commissioner Jordan, what are your thoughts on where we are in this rise in violence, and where is the entry point where we're going to start to make change? Because I will ask the officers as well, you know, what I'll start with Commissioner Jordan, then I'm going to switch it over to you, Mr. Jenkins.
Well, first of all, before we talk about the rise in violence, I think we have to talk about how did our communities get here in the first place, where we have poor black segregated communities concentrated together by design.
Yes.
We're put together based on our income levels and our color.
Yes.
And that's from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes centuries to change what is happening, what has happened.
Right. And I think, if I may, I'm going to send, by any chance, have you read that Ta-Nehisi Coates' piece in The Atlantic?
No, I haven't.
I will send it to you, because you just reiterated it.
Please do.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and then we get blame for the economic conditions that put us here in the first place.
Right.
And the fact that you have to have businesses created that support the jail system. And how are you going to support the jail system? You have to have people to put in them.
Right.
And the ones that's easiest to put in, of course, would be the poor people who cannot afford an attorney to get them off.
Right.
So there are a lot of injustices that go on, including environmental injustice that is happening in Flint, Michigan.
Right.
That you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a part of the situation as well, throughout the years, we used to have intervention and prevention programs. Those programs were cut out, and pretty much what you have now are programs that are created that provide direct services. So we don't have the ability to intervene early as we need to. And we have to work closer, of course, with our school system in order to make sure that we're reaching children at an earlier age. We talk about, when you think about the fact that here we just had, a 7-year-old who was killed?
Yeah.
And they're recruiting our kids younger and younger. So we have to start earlier in making sure that we reach the children, really, in elementary school, not even middle school anymore.
Yeah.
To start talking to them, but those dollars that help us to do that, the intervention and the prevention dollars to send people out to the school, we need more resource officers out in the school.
Where do those dollars traditionally come from?
Well, there were a number of programs through the federal government, local programs, even the county itself. When I think about our community-based organizations out there that are struggling in neighborhoods
right.
to try and work with kids in our neighborhoods, we have cut our community-based organization budget down from $23 million when I was an assistant county manager.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's down to about $14 million.
Wow. And the problem is greater than it was then.
And the problem is much greater. You have created, we have created like the Children's Trust. Well, the Children's Trust, you would think, would focus on our communities much more, but the Children's Trust was set up for all children.
Mm-hmm.
So you have programs like Easter Seals and the University of Miami and other institutions who get millions of dollars also coming to the Children's Trust. But yet, those programs that really serve neighborhoods, United Way, and our community-based organizations, the resources are much more limited.
And all of these things come through the Children's Trust?
A lot of the programs come through the Children's Trust, but like I said, the Children's Trust, when we voted for the Children's Trust, we didn't say the Children's Trust should fund programs in low-income communities.
Ah, okay.
We said that the Children's Trust should fund children's programs. So the board sets the goals in terms of where they're going to put the priorities and the target.
Ah, okay. Are there many people of color on the board?
I think they just added one or two.
Mm. Okay. So then that would be a source of the problem right there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now what? I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to come back to that one. I want to swing over to the officer's side of that. So now we know that from a governmental side and from a community side, we have now have a lack of money. We have less money with a greater problem happening. So when you show up, you now are presented with lots of people, lots of young people and getting younger who are, you know, in the street because they have nowhere to go. I mean, they want to get out of the house. Their parents want them out of the house. And so they're just out there. What are they encountering in the street?
Well, I know. Well, if you're asking what are we doing as a police agency, some of the things that we're doing right now is because, like Commissioner Jordan already said, we're noticing that we have to reach the children at a younger age. So what we've been doing is going into the elementary and the middle schools and creating programs in order to capture those young kids because their whole mindset is different than what we're used to back in the day. Right now we're creating Youth Explorer programs. We're just getting ready to start one in the Brownsville Middle School. We're bringing resources, reaching out to other agencies and bringing resources into the different neighborhoods because sometimes the parents can't get to the resources that are out there. So we're bringing the resources
to them. So let me ask you, when you all are, I don't know if you're not in the street anymore.
Sometimes I am.
Sometimes. Okay. So those of you like, yeah, sometimes those of you who are out there face to face with the problem, because we know that they're, you know, now we've identified the problem, we have to go younger in training them. But the ones that are out there right now that are the problem, how are you dealing with this?
Basically, first of all, you have to create a dialogue with these young folks. Right now, we're doing youth dialogue sessions so that we can understand them because they speak a different language than police officers a lot of times, and just building that relationship.
Do you find a level of just of anger when you show up? I know earlier Tracy Martin was saying that he's, you know, that they are working with children, working with kids and, you know, young adults for them to change the narrative that, you know, just abide by what the officers say and you should get home safely. So when you approach, are you, you know, diffusing as you approach? Is that some of the problem? I mean, what is the relationship? Clearly, it's not a good one. Well, between the young people in the street right now.
We have good interactions also. We just have to, it's a different way of learning each other, learning our tendencies and just speaking to each other, not at each other. So therefore, taking the time, right now we just added more cop officers into the various neighborhoods and just developing that good relationship where we can have that dialogue with the young folks and get them to understand that cops are not bad, you know, that we're here to help them. Don't be afraid of us. You know, just make sure that we decrease that misconception about us.
Well, I think that I would offer you, I sat on a panel with a lot of police, and I asked them point blank, why do you have, because one of the conversations that a lot of the young people are having is that you have cops in these neighborhoods who don't live there, they don't know the people, and they are just hyped up on, you know, Red Bull and steroids, and that they shoot at the first thing that moves. So I said, well, you know, why is it that you have so many of these young, you know, hyped up officers on the street? And one officer candidly said that, you know, it is a seniority issue. A lot of the older officers just don't want to do it anymore. And so those new recruits that come in get the late night hours, the overnight hours, and, you know, they're just new on the street. And they're not trained well enough in conflict resolution and steroids and Red Bull, and you got a dangerous cocktail.
Well, that's a misconception out there. Because I know with the Miami-Dade Police Department, we train our folks very, very well.
But is that the case that the young, that the new recruits,
well, you have a
get
variation.
The worst shifts?
No, you have a variation. You have some senior officers that actually want to work the midnight shift, and mm-hmm. then you have some that want to work the daytime shift. And then based on seniority, you place the younger folks in the various vacancies. So it's a variation. It's not all where you have one group on one shift.
Right. So that wouldn't be why you have so many. So what is it? You know, why is it a growing number of officers seem to shoot and apologize as opposed to, you know, being there to resolve conflict? It just, I mean, could we agree that there are more and more, it's like, what was it the other, was last month, where the young boy the boy called twice, then the father called the police and said, please, my son's out of control, send the police over here. The police opened up the door and shot. They killed the boy and they killed the neighbor that opened the door. And then the cops apologized. Oops, we're sorry. Now, that is one of the, and the reason why I bring it to your attention, because we know, everybody in this room knows that all cops are not bad, just like everybody in the street is not bad. However, we also know that if it bleeds, it leads. So even if it is one, if five, you know, if there were 500 calls and one person got shot, all we're going to hear about is that one person that got shot and killed in that way.
Correct. But I also know that our numbers of shootings have decreased, not increased, in the area that we cover. So therefore, it shows that we are building that relationship, that good relationship with members of the community, and we're taking the time to think before we react to a lot of different situations.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Brown, so now you are the chaplain at the Homestead Police Department.
Yes.
So you are in a very unique position. You are a pastor in the community. Oh, Barbara gone. Love you so much. She's like, look, it is 12:15. I'm out of here. Love you, mean it. Commissioner Barbara Jordan, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation. And next time, I'd love to have you in the studio. Okay, so you, Reverend Brown, Chauncey Brown, you are in a unique position because you are a pastor in the community and you minister to the police.
Yes.
So what are your comments on the issues that we have just brought to the table? Is what are you hearing in your community from people in terms of their interactions with the police? And what is your relationship like with the police? What are the things that they come to you with?
Yeah, interesting you ask that. One of the things I continue to deal with is that very issue of understanding where the police are coming from and the community as well. Mm-hmm. You know, talking to the officers again, their concern is they want to go home every night with their family. And so these ladies and gentlemen are walking up to individuals and not sure what they're walking upon, whereas those individuals who they're greeting, know what's in their mind. Mm-hmm. So a police officer walks up on Johnny. He doesn't know if Johnny is ready to shoot or not, whereas Johnny knows what his motives are. But the community, again, is afraid because they're saying the officers are not sometimes being caring to them. So I think it's really come to the point we have to look at how we have conversations with both of them. But the community has to, I think, go back to policing itself. I think to the point that we are able to know what's going on in the streets and start telling the officers what's going on instead of us, you know, being quiet and letting the officers kind of figure out themselves. We know who's doing what. And I think we've allowed our kids, our young people to do what they want to do and then tell the officers to come in and find out. And the officers, you know, not sure what they're finding out. So sometimes they have to go with their best instinct.
Well, isn't a lot of that, Dwight, kind of, Senator Bullard, isn't a lot of that a part of that whole no snitching? Because these people, because if you snitch, they'll come back and kill you, shoot up your whole house.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a symptom that's been created. And I do want to give, you know, let the police officers, especially ones in the studio, but just in general, off the hook, because it really kind of boils down to a policy thing. And you're absolutely right. Folks are scared because they're like, what are the ramifications if I do tell? So I do want to give full credit to Tangela Sears, who's...
Yes.
You know, mothers of murdered victims has been pushing a witness protection bill up in Tallahassee, and it's during this legislative session and Senate bill or House Bill 475
yeah.
and Senate Bill 1314, which would kind of address the issue. But speaking to sort of the pervasive concerns about the community, I think one thing we really have to look at is look at all the high profile cases that have come out involving law enforcement, whether it's Eric Garner, whether it's Tamir Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, but I would draw a conclusion just based on what's out there, that if you're a police officer, young police officer, and you see that there's a strong possibility you can get off for killing another human being, what kind of mental impact is that? And it's not saying that that's the training. It's not saying that's the conditioning.
No, but...
But one has to ask themselves that if you can respond to somebody in 2 seconds, take them off, and then be exonerated of any wrongdoing, knowing that that's not the procedure that you were taught.
Right.
Whether or not that's going to have an impact. And I think that has a lot to do with things like prosecutors, has a lot to do with policy that a particular state has, where federal policy is, and it's a larger conversation, but it's one that needs to be had because you're talking about the potential of an entire generation of folks who want to go into law enforcement now being identifying the ability to execute certain members of the community versus other members of the community just based on what's played out on TV.
Right.
Yeah. One thing, Jill, I want to, and you're talking about this very recently. I was in a situation where I had to deal with both.
Mm-hmm.
We had an officer who shot someone. The person ended up dying. The family ended up going to my church. So I'm trying to minister to the family, having to do the funeral for this young man
right.
who was shot by the police officer. But at the same time, being able to be there for the police officer. So even now, trying to minister to both, understanding the family is still hurting about what happened
right.
with their loved one, and ministering to them, making sure that they feel comfortable and welcome. But at the same time, this police officer, you know, is still under investigation. So I have to make sure that I'm caring to him and looking at his
right.
needs.
You're seeing both sides of the story, which is...
And it's been a challenge because the family wants me to push and do certain things. And
right.
the police officer saying, well, you know, we need your support. And I'm trying to say, I want to support both of you. And I want us to deal with the facts and be respectful to each other. The family be respectful to the police officers because they're doing their job. And at the same time, I need the police officer to understand the family is hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the family, you know, that you have a right to hurt. You have a right to feel the way you feel. No matter what your loved one was doing, you have a right to hurt.
Right.
And I want to help you get through your hurt, but make sure that you don't do, you know, what the saying is, don't be one of those hurt people that hurt other people by what you're doing.
Yeah. Did you wanted to say?
No.
Oh. Okay, well, we are up against a break. Do any of you watch American Crime on ABC? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it is exactly that. It, you see both sides of the story. And, you know, Regina King just won an Emmy for it because it is, it's an incredible piece of work. And if you haven't seen it out there, the stories change, but the cast stays the same. But it is a real analysis of both sides of any crime and how each side thinks that they're right. They are right to some degree. But how do you come to the middle and, you know, not destroy us all? We'll discuss that after the break. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
For 31 years, after a long day at work, on the drive home relaxing, on date night to set the mood, or in bed with your boo, one familiar voice has been with you, playing your favorite songs to make it right.
Hey, love, this is Freddy Cruz on The Quiet Storm on Hot 105. It's music for lovers all night long. Music that sparks the magic of romance. Turn it on.
Storm, weeknight 7 to midnight on Hot 105. Responsible for the population boom in South Florida.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often, their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
In America today, one in four women and one in seven men suffer physical violence at the hands of a loved one. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but Florida's court clerks provide assistance to domestic violence victims year-round. They understand the importance of confidentiality and discretion. Don't stay silent. Take action. Visit myfloridaclerks.com to learn how to contact your local court clerk and put a stop to domestic violence.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Right now, in conflict zones, refugee camps, and remote villages around the world, Doctors Without Borders is delivering emergency medical care. With your support, our medical teams respond quickly when conflicts, deadly outbreaks, or natural disasters strike. Doctors Without Borders is funded by individual donors around the world, so our independence and impartiality allow us access to patients in need in places others often won't go. Doctors Without Borders is dedicated to delivering high-quality medical care in the worst circumstances. Doctors Without Borders is saving a life somewhere right now. Please support us today by visiting doctorswithoutborders.org. You make our work possible.
Everyone deserves access to eye care. Unfortunately, some cannot afford comprehensive eye exams that detect and prevent eye disease, disease that can lead to vision loss. The Florida Optometry Eye Health Fund is here to help. The fund promotes access to comprehensive eye care to help the less fortunate reach their full potential. If you know a child in need, urge them to contact Miami Lighthouse. Help them see a clearer future.
About 2 or 3 months ago, I started having money problems. Ever since then, I've had a pretty hard time keeping up with the bills. The worst part is I can't make the house payments. So when the phone started to ring and I knew it was the mortgage people calling, I didn't pick it up. I just couldn't. And the notices were coming in the mail, too. Lots of them. Now I may lose my house, and I don't know what to do.
If you're facing foreclosure, doing nothing only puts you deeper in the hole. Now's the time to dig yourself out. Call 1-888-995-HOPE today. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council in this station.
Did y'all see diehard Houston, Texas fan Roland Martin dressed in Carolina Panthers attire? He was all on the field with Roger Goodell. He went from H-Town chopped and screwed to Carolina barbecue and Brunswick stew. What kind of food is he eating down there, grouper?
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Hot 105. To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
How you feel? He don't care about no 50, because he known to keep it real. Peep what's happening down the block, yo. Who this down there taking mine? CeeLo knows about his business, so he runs it down one time. He get keys straight from Miami, hooks it up and sells it cheap. You ain't getting nothing but O's from Sammy, so your prices are too steep. But I got just the thing you need, son, if you really wanna win. Sunlight sparkles on his gold fronts as he makes this evil grin. Take a walk on down to my crib and let me show you something new. Now I got loads of guns and ammo that I bought from this white dude. He could tell that I was down, that I was just the man to see. And he fronted me at least a G's worth of artillery on the back street.
And welcome back to Hot Talk.
That's where I live.
Thanks so much. Okay, 888-550-9105. I just got a call. This brother was resourceful. He is calling from California. I guess you must have gone, he had to have gone on my website or the Facebook page or something and called me personally and said, okay, hello, we want to make some comments and we are not getting through on that line. So thank you. And if you want to call in, I apologize and forgive us, but I thought that the lines were open. 888-550-9105. You can call us right now. Boom, there they go. Hi, I guess they weren't on. Listen, let me just tell you, we're under construction here at Cox Media Group, so there's been a lot going on, so forgive us, but we're taking calls right now. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Hello?
Is this me?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, sister. Oh, boy. Hello, panel. Everybody there. The Reverend Brown, is he still there?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Brother Brown, this is Brother Albert. Look, we're working on problems all over America as best we can. We don't get the kind of recognition because we're going deep into where the problem exists. And I want you to, if you will, call a meeting for all the pastors to begin with and see can we set up, use some of the churches because we want Ophir and the boxer and everybody that got money to try to contribute some buildings. But they got to go through everything before they get approved by the public. So we're going to ask you, if you will, to contact all the ministers and pastors of the church, and let's see if we set up, use some of them church buildings to educate our young, because it has been proven that the brain is made for truth, and truth gives you energy, and lies give you, it de-energizes you. One gives you life, one gives you death. Mm. And so we've been trying to get people to help us to house these children. In short, we want to do this. We need a church for girls and we need a church for boys. And Sister Jill, you've had many wonderful guests on your program, you and Brother Brown and Brother James T.
Thank you.
You can implore those brothers to educate those youth, put directly into their minds what should be there. Because there's no spiritual food being taught in the schools like it was when I was coming up. You know, you had to say prayers and quote a Bible.
That's true. Now you can't even. You
kind of devotion that it lifts you up. Right now it's dead. They playing games with their fingers and all that stuff, with these little games, telephones and all that. And they getting some of the best stuff. So we're going to ask you to please do that for us. Let's get this problem nipping in the bud. And when you educate those children the proper way about themselves, their parents, their family, their community, how they're going to fit in, and what, how to spot good, and how to what's the good and what's the bad, and they use it, in other words, the earlier you plant the seed, it grew up just that much more stronger. But right now, we don't have that kind of help.
That's
outside.
True.
In all 50 states, 19,000 cities, we have drugs in our community. Our families are very dysfunctional. And like Sister Jordan say, a lot of this stuff was planted years ago without our knowledge. We was thinking we was Americans and we're going to fit right in. We found out that there was a program for them and a different program for us.
Yeah.
And the worst negative part was for us, as everybody know. So we're going to ask you to please contact those churches that work on this and see if we contact the school people and send those students where they're supposed to be sent. And you all educate them the way they should be educated. Every community got churches. Utilize those churches, even if we have to change the school system. They're talking about you got to do this and do that. Put the right education and knowledge. The book says my people have been destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And you preachers and pastors and all these people that we have out there, we're going to contribute, and I guarantee you we'll solve the problem that way.
Thank you.
The polices, if we unify the way we support, they're going to have the easiest job in the world.
Exactly.
They can be fired or sued for going too slow to get into the jail by the time we can put some spoon in there behind. And this is what we're going to have to do as a community. The quicker, the better.
Yeah.
Let's do what we got
to do. Exactly.
A black aunt and that Sister Jordan, that you know, it was different from one and totally different from the other. And this is a fact. But we're going to have to do what we got to do for us. And you brothers on that, just do the best you can. Oh, let me say this much here. Police's,
Brother Albert.
That was a, ma'am.
Okay, no, I want to let the pastor answer.
Thank you, Brother Albert. Just what you said, we've met with a couple of pastors on last week in South Dade, and we're planning a couple of things now. We really want to do that. One of the things that we're looking at doing is not just programs for our young people, but really for the whole family. Dr. Freddie Haynes has a book out called Healing of Broken Villages, and what he really talks about is, you know, we have the old African proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. But if our villages are broken, then we're going to raise broken children.
Right.
And so what we're looking at doing is really trying to reach the whole family, make sure that our men become whole, and then go back and look at kind of what you were just saying, at the system that was broken that caused our families to be broken and bring these families back together. So I will say that the churches down South Dade are really working now, and we're starting to talk some of our pastors up here as well. I'll be this way, I think, earlier... later on this week, talking with some pastors in this area. We're really already doing some work, but we'll make sure that we get the word out about some of the things we're doing as far as educating our families as a whole, and not just our young people.
Yeah, thanks so much. Dee from Oakland, California.
Yes, hi. Good
evening, everyone. Welcome to Hot Talk.
You know, thank you. We engaged last week and really, really was inspired by the discussions and hearing, you know, people's different opinions and perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I listened in again tonight, and I had four younger people that were ages 22 to 15. And they started off listening, and then the looks on their faces was just like, you got to be kidding. And I want to tell you where it started, because when I read up, I think in someone there in Florida shared with us what the topic was going to be, an engaging young one. So we decided, hey, let's make it a little listening party, what we normally do on Black issues. But when they heard, I think it was that Trayvon's dad?
Yeah.
Who said it's about their body language that causes certain reactions from the police. I was appalled as well, and so were they.
Mm.
And the reason being is, you know, we've had to, just in the last 5 years, look at our Black people, from children to adults, being murdered. And to hear Trayvon's dad say that when his son was guilty of nothing more than going to a store, buying mm-hmm. some Skittles and tea, unless there was more to this story than what we've been told, nothing about that child's behavior should have caused his death. Now, of course, that was some rent-a-cop or no-cop or whatever he was.
Right.
But you still had a racist running rampant, acting like he was a cop, saying that this child was guilty. Now, let's get back that warranted his self-defense,
right.
claiming that he had to defend himself when I'm sure in this child's mind, because I've taught mine, you see a stranger and they're following you, or you feel in some kind of way, you get away from them.
Right.
And from all that we read, that is what Trayvon tried to do. Unfortunately, we see the ending.
Right.
Then we hear his parents get up there. And
father.
I don't want to bash them in the sense that I know that they lost their child. But this issue is not about just Trayvon. It's not about just Oscar Grant out there. It is about every last one of our black people being gunned down, being murdered by the police. And to hear you all in Florida really kind of turn it on the people as opposed to this crooked, racist law enforcement and hold them accountable.
Well, no, well, wait,
no
wait, 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 wait.
We
wait.
Can't engage the young people. Because
wait,
you know what? Those of us, and I'm in my 50s, if I'm sitting listening to leadership from you guys all, and it sounds like you guys are all around my age, in between, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, but to hear the conversation going on where you have more sympathy for the murderers and the lynchers than you have for the victims and those of us, we know what it is. We are still under attack. We've been under attack for hundreds of years, and it is about our skin color. Understand this. My dad was a policeman for 25 years and a sheriff for another 15. I'm a law enforcement brat. I've seen both sides of it.
Okay.
And when I hear what the police have to go out and encounter when they go out there, you know, what their mindset is, it still does not get back. We're allowing them. We're giving them an excuse. They knew the job was dangerous when they took it. Okay, they know that they're going out into the public and how dangerous this job is. It still does not excuse the fact the number of black kids and adults being murdered at the hands of these police. At this point, it's our fault. Listening to you guys, it is our fault.
Okay, well, okay. So now listen, what I offer you is that, is it possible that there is fault on both sides?
Probably not, because they take an oath to protect the public. Now, if in fact you've got black kids or black people out there pulling guns on police and committing crimes and doing things they have no business, then of course you expect.
Okay, so is it possible that that happens? No, really, because we have a tendency to get into this all or nothing conversation. So it is a possibility.
All or nothing when our lives are being taken.
Well, no, but you just said that everybody on the panel was just saying that, you know, it's their fault. And that's really not, what they.
I didn't say everybody. I just said listening to Trayvon, you all, and then I pointed to, I think it was Tracy, he said his name was.
Trayvon's dad.
I kind of heard you with the nonprofit, and I agree with that, because we also run a nonprofit out here as well. So we're not blaming everybody. I'm blaming the ones that made those comments.
Right. Okay. But what I'm saying is that I feel that they both have. It's just like I was talking about that show, American Crime. Just like there is a disproportionate amount of African Americans killed by police. Period. At the same time, there are instances where there's a conflict. An either or person could be wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? So we don't, each case, we have to judge each case individually as opposed to what happened. Under no circumstances, though, are we dealing with police like Dragnet. It's different. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, we're not saying we got, you know, Officer Friendly. out there every day, but we're also not saying that we got, what was Denzel's character in Training Day?
Well, no, no,
they're all not him either. You know what I'm saying?
But I understand what you're saying, but we're dealing with, you know, real life.
But if we say, well, if we had just admonished the cop, all of the cops.
The environment that is happening to black people at this point.
Right.
The numbers of murders, and I call them modern day lynching, that's going on right now, cannot be compared to any other race. And please don't
go
in the Browns, because the Browns.
No, you're right. You're right. So under no circumstances can it.
Specific.
We are specifically talking about black folks.
I get that we may have to look at certain cases individual, but in when you look at how many of us are being murdered time after time after time again, Sandra Bland, you see others who have not been named. We saw Trayvon. Here it was Oscar Grant. There
right.
is just a litany list of black people, children, Tamar Rice.
Right.
The guy in New York. I mean, come on, people. And the reason why I blame us black people for this right now is because exactly the things that I'm hearing those of you say out there, they can just come out and murder us. And then walk away, and then you got these black people stepping up. Oh,
but that's what Dwight Bullard.
It's because of the clothes they wore. It's the way that they look. It's something they said. Are you kidding me? But they're allowing the white kids to kick them. We had an incident just recently. Little white boy kicked the officer in his private part. Was he murdered? Oh no, they just handcuffed him and put him in jail, and put him in a program. You know, you're not having the same treatment of white people and not blacks that you are having that's happening to black people.
No, I agree with you, and I think that everybody here agrees with you that there is, you know, it's a great racial divide in this country, period. I don't think anybody discounts that at all. But the solution is also not an eye for eye. Do you see what I'm saying? So, at some point, well, that's what we are.
Then clearly we wouldn't be seeing the amount of murders that are going on against black people.
Well, I mean, but that's what we are venturing here to discuss. Senator Bullard, you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, I just simply want to say, I think we can all agree racism exists, right? So I understand that's a root cause for a number of the issues that we're confronted with, but there are no silver bullets, singular solutions that can fix the problem. One thing I would say, and, you know, I didn't mention it at the beginning, but I think needs to be said, is that it's not a people out there who inevitably there's someone out there listening who's like, I got this great program idea, and if we do this, everything will be fixed.
Right.
That's irresponsible for us to have a discussion like that without involving all stakeholders in the process.
Right.
Community, police officers, you know, media personalities, because
right.
Clergy, everybody has to be at the table in order to fix the problem. But I would say this, let's not be dismissive of the policies that people have put in place to stay in power, right? There is such a thing as a prison industrial complex. There is such a thing as privatized prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll push back on anyone who says that, well, that's not the construct. When we sign a contract as a state with a private prison, we sign that with the contingency that they will be at 70% capacity.
At all times.
They have the right to sue the state for lack of capacity. Now, let's think about that.
Right.
You're basically signing a contract that says you have to stay 70% full.
Right.
In order for you all to be flush with money. That's got to come from somewhere. And the fact that we're okay with that as a society, and that's not the dominant media conversation, that folks aren't talking about that everyone isn't upset at the idea.
But I don't think that's my thing, that I don't think that they know.
Right.
And that is why we are having these conversations, because how many of you, just put it on the Facebook page, did not know that until you just heard that from Senator Bullard. Jeff from Miami. Oh, I'm sorry. John, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add that, you know, what Senator Bullard is talking about, we, for the last few months, the Miami-Dade Police Department is participating and going to a lot of community forums. And just like down south and in the north end of Miami-Dade County, the clergy has been a big part of it. And I think that our community as a whole is starting to get a little bit tired of all these shootings and children being murdered in Dade County.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that when we go to these community forums, we're developing that dialogue. We're getting it's starting to look like to me that the trust is starting to come back a little bit with the police and the community. Because just like the shooting that happened down south, where the 7-year-old was killed, we got a lot of calls from the community that kind of assisted and helped us with that. So I don't want to say that the snitching policy is still in effect. But at the same time, I think people are starting to get fed up and they're starting to come forward and starting to help and talk to the police department. Mm. And that's what it comes down to. We got to continue to dialogue like we're doing now and invite us. Miami-Dade Police Department is committed to coming down and talking to any group or any forum that we can to kind of get the message out there that we all live in this community, and I have children in this community.
It's like anything else. If you have, you know, if you live in a house with 8 people, you know, if 4 people are not getting along with the other 4, everybody in that house gonna be miserable. So you have got to, if nobody's moving, then you've got to find some consensus.
It's got to be a collaborative effort with all the different stakeholders.
And, you know, and that's why the clergy, the police, the politics, media, that we're all here having this conversation. Jeff, on line 4 from Miami, welcome to Hot Talk. Jeff, are you there? Eric from Miami? Eric or Jeff? Eric or Jeff? Hello. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Hello?
Did you fall asleep? I'll go to the next one.
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Hello?
Hi, yes, yes. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, who's this?
Okay, I was commenting on...
Turn your radio down.
Jeff.
It's going to freak you out. Turn the radio down.
On Ms. D. Ms. D?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still my name, Ms. D. And I think she was 100% right.
Okay.
A lot of these officers, they intimidate the black kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Turn the radio down because you're hearing yourself. Kids. Just turn the radio down.
Down the street.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to follow them behind them.
Okay, I can't. Jeff, you got to turn the radio off because you're listening to yourself and it's freaking you out. Eric?
When you stand up for people that you know should not be a policeman, have no business working, like the cop that killed Tamir. He had left another police job where they said he was incompetent. He shouldn't be hired, and another police station hired him.
Yes.
He pulled up on a kid and shot him within so many seconds.
Yes.
But then still, he was still hired.
Yes.
So when police do this type of behavior, how can you go into the community and expect people to respect you when you sit up there
and
you take up for somebody and you're
right? Is this Eric?
Does not deserve the respect and honor that you're getting,
Eric,
because you're doing the right thing. But you're taking up for somebody who's not.
Eric.
Now you have, wait, let me just say one more thing. You have people from the Miami Police Department there.
Yes.
You have the Florida Courier just came out saying the ACLU saying that they are stopping black people here for seatbelt violations at 4 times that of whites.
Yes.
And that Miami-Dade is supposed to be keeping records on whether they stopping blacks or whites or whatever, and they're not doing it, and they're not holding, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So how can we respect them when they come to this show and say that they're working with the community? The ACLU said that they're not doing their part when they're supposed to be keeping records of who they stop, when they stop them for seatbelt violations, to make sure that they're not racially profiling.
Okay,
but they're not doing that.
Okay, babe. So let me ask you this: so if you walk out your house right now and a cop shoots you, or somebody just on the street shoots you, did you deserve to die because that person thought you were somebody else, or that person had an interaction with another black person that pissed them off and they took it out on you?
The question. What's the question?
This is what I'm saying. You're saying that how can they sit here and say that they're helping the community when that cop shot Tamir Rice? You're talking about two different people.
No, that's not what I'm saying, sister. I love police. Understand this. They have a job to do.
So what?
Is this. They also have to have accountability. Where is accountability for police? This is
okay.
You cannot see the no snitch policy.
Right.
And what about the blue shield of silence when police officers do not do the right thing? They have multiple cases of excessive force while they still on the force, while they're not disciplined and gotten rid of. They make it bad for the good cops.
Okay.
Cops are people that are doing the right thing. So when you're a good, how can you be a good cop if you're sitting there and you knowing that several members of your force are on the Ku Klux Klan?
But these, okay, so this is what I'm saying, that these two officers here have, you know, got you hot. Because how dare they say that when there are other cops like the ones that killed Tamir Rice and the ones that strangled the brother in New York and the one.
You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, if they're doing the right thing, if they're on their job, if they're
right.
reporting it, if they're making, if they're doing everything in their power to make sure that those type of cops are not working them,
right.
then I applaud them. But if they're not upholding them, then that's why we have people that don't respect them. So when you sit up and do the right thing, all around, not you have nobody's above the law. And if you have coworkers who are that's like being a doctor and you watching a doctor do something that's malfeasant to a patient. That
oh, I see what you're saying. In the big picture, okay. So in the big picture, what he's saying is
in the big picture, Eric is. I know for
if you're sitting up being watching somebody do something that's hurting.
Eric, let her answer.
That's not the oath that they took. And we have to talk about how many cops have been ran off of jobs that have stood up for good things, but they've been ran out of their precinct because they have stood up.
Okay, let her make a comment.
Well, the big picture for the Miami-Dade Police Department is we do have mechanisms in place that if an officer does do something, violate somebody's right to do something that's wrong, that there are repercussions for their actions. In addition for that, we do keep statistics on various things that we do out there as far as writing tickets and who we're writing tickets to. So I can only speak for the Miami-Dade Police Department. I can't speak for Chicago PD and other agencies that are out there. I can only speak for the
right.
agency that I work
for. You work for, exactly.
And we can't lump all the police departments together. And I think that's what's happening. You see one shooting that a police involved shooting that occurs in one state. And a lot of times people get that misconception that it's happening everywhere. And that's just totally wrong. You have to look at every incident and every situation separately.
Yeah. And Jill, just to combat that, what he was saying about the Blue Shield, mm-hmm. What the Miami-Dade Police Department did in Miami-Dade County in January of 2015, Florida Department of Law Enforcement actually does investigate our police-involved shootings.
Right.
So to give that transparency, where people thought that the perception was that we're taking care of our own, mm-hmm. we brought FDLE in, and FDLE is now investigating all Miami-Dade County police-involved shootings.
Right. And just like Senator Buller said, you know, we're dealing with a lot of issues here, and a lot of times it's bigger than you. It's a system that's already in place. So when these things happen, you know, there are safeguards for those that we're talking about, a Tamir Rice who will not be prosecuted.
And
so there's a certain mindset that man is walking out in the street with that, you know, that clearly he made it through three different police departments and nobody checked him. You know, that's how many people that work with you that are crazy. I'm just saying. I have one call on line four. That's going to be my last call, and we're going to we'll close out. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Elvira.
Elvira, hi. You want to make a comment?
Hi. What I want to say is I am an unwitting victim, and I'd like to give out two websites before I tell you what's happening. One of them is gmnken.com. That's George Mary, GMN, George Mary Nancy Ken, like the man Ken, KEN.com. And Winston Herman, he's a officer. Well, he was a good officer. He is a good officer. His Winston Herman, 17, at WordPress.com.
Okay.
So look at that. Now, about my case, I am an unwitting victim. I don't know how this thing is happening to me. They keep me homeless. I was at a Clinton fundraiser in 2002.
Oh, babe.
Officer, and I was beat up by a police officer. I'm denied medical treatment all these years. I'm 65 years old, homeless, and then stalked horribly. And people need to know about these things because they're teaching children to do this. And their children are going into the schools doing it to children that has nothing to do with this. It's a kind of a perfume-like thing. They wear it, and they go among you, and you get headaches, you get diarrhea, different types of issues. I can't go to a hospital. Remember the lady a couple of weeks ago up in Tallahassee? She had went to the hospital. Her name was Barbara. I can't think of her last name. Every time she went to the hospital, they refused her medical treatment. That's what's happening to me, too.
Elvira, wait a minute. We're right up against the break. Hold on for just a second. Okay. So I want to start with you. No, I'll start with, yes, we're going to wrap up. I'm sorry. There's like, now people are calling my phone. But I want to thank you all. And I'm so sorry that you all were not able to get in earlier. I don't know what happened with the phone, why we weren't getting calls in. But in closing, next step, what is the next step from opening up the conversation and bringing, you know, all the principles to the table? What is the next step? Is it possible what Brother Albert said? Is it possible to convene pastors? Or are we just, you know, preaching to the choir? Well, that's another show. So I hope you'll come back for that show. But in terms of where you are, Reverend Brown.
I think the next steps, and we're in the process of doing it, going back to what Officer Jenkins said earlier, is really for us to have that conversation between the cops and the clergy and the community. I think our communication, us working together, can make a difference in our community.
Yeah. Officer Jenkins and Detective Brad?
Well, we do Lieutenant that now. Brad. We attend a lot of forums and have that dialogue with various members of the community. We also work with various members of the clergy on a consistent basis. Yeah. And we go into the schools in order to try to work together. It's got to be a collaborative effort with everybody involved.
And I think that, and I would love for us to be able to reach, you know, those that are not, we're not reaching at church. And Senator Bullard.
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
There you go. And with that said, thank you so much for listening to Hot Talk. We will talk to you again next Sunday. Love you, mean it.
Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live. Always local. Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers, are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Yo, check it out. This is your boy Genuine, and you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
Ari Frazier, Florida licensed public adjuster. License number P174093.
Guys, listen carefully. Has your wife, girlfriend, mom, or significant other been nagging you about those repairs around the house? Are the repairs and the nagging making you miserable and not looking forward to your day off? Look, what are you paying homeowners insurance for? Most guys don't realize that homeowners insurance doesn't just cover hurricane and fires. It may also cover other repairs and your insurance premiums won't go up. It could be anything from leak damage, cracked tiles, literally anything she keeps nagging you about. I'm serious. Do what I did. Call Frazier for your free inspection at 305-252-252. 1868. It only takes 15 minutes, and at the end of the day, you'll make her really happy. 305-252-1868. I got the repairs done. I didn't have to pay anything additional for it, and I didn't have to do it myself.
Thank you, honey.
Call Fraser now for your free inspection. 305-252-1868. Trust me, you won't regret it. 305-252-1868.
The world is not flat. Confirm it for yourself with Celebrity Cruises' best offer ever. Choose two free perks in Alaska, Europe, or almost anywhere we sail. Free drinks, free internet, free tips, or $300 to spend on board for a savings of up to $2,150. Or for an even bigger savings, get all four perks for free in our Better Than Ever Suite class. Celebrity Cruises.